Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're glad to see everyone here. Before we do first-time visitors, I'm going to do the announcements. Please don't forget our Thanksgiving dinner is here tonight at 6 o'clock. Following our wonderful dinner supper, we will have the budget presentation. Please bring your favorite side dish. The other items will be provided by the kitchen committee. Steve, do you need anything to add to the supper tonight? No? Okay. There will be no youth, any youth tonight due to the Thanksgiving dinner. Also, the Thanksgiving community-wide service will be Tuesday night at the new Concord Grandview Baptist Church down there on Nolensville Road.
There is choir practice at 4:45.
Choir practice at 4:45. Just to make a note, the church office will be closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, so don't call Joyce. She won't be here. Or Larry, either one. Call you at home, I guess, if we need you. Are you not going to be here either?
We'll see Mom.
Okay. That's all the announcements I'm going to touch on. Are there announcements that we need to make from the congregation at this time? Any announcements, Larry?
They're kind of prayer concerns and announcements together, so we'll put them in prayer concerns.
Okay. Today is Friend Day. You were supposed to invite a friend or friends with you. So, in accordance with first-time visitors, I'll start on to my left. Do we have any first-time visitors, friends, today? Do we?
Yes, ma'am. Would you stand up and get the pictures there?
I'm Vivian Reed.
Vivian Reed?
I'm 35 years old.
Who?
Vivian Reed. And I live in Norman.
Good. We're glad to have you. Okay, from the, is there any more from my left, over to my left? Yes, sir. You're the friend Larry's talked about. Well, welcome. We won't hold that against you, but we're glad you're here. No. Oh, you haven't any, Larry. We're glad you're here this morning. Welcome. All right, the middle section. Do we have any first-time visitors in the middle section? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Alice Harris.
Oh, he's got two friends. Larry! Oh, we're glad you're here. We give Larry a hard time. We know he has many friends, but... Well... Well, we're glad you made Joyce and all of us feel better by coming. Any more from the middle section? To my right, do we have any first-time visitors here this morning? Oh, I got two. Okay. Mr. Blue Shirt raised his hand first. I have to choose him first. Yes, sir.
Reuben Watson.
Reuben Watson. Tommy Watson. We're glad you're here this morning. Welcome. Yes, sir. Now you're next. Uh-oh, you got competition. He's got two friends, too.
Okay.
Welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. See, I told you I didn't need a microphone. Y'all just didn't believe me till today. Are there any other first-time visitors that I might have missed? If not... Again, we want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. It's always wonderful to see almost a full church. It makes Larry feel good. You get to meet new friends, and we just want to welcome everyone here this morning.
Hopefully it makes the Lord happy too.
He's happy. He's very happy. Please be sure, though, and register your attendance on the pads that have been passed out. Now, prayer request. Larry, you said you had.
Yeah, Brother Harris, Jesse Howard Harris, is in the hospital, been there since last weekend, and he has been given hours or days. And so lift up Brother Harris, Suzanne, and Jerry, the children, Ms. Harris, and they did take her, I think, Friday to visit with him, and she is, of course, not able to get around. They have to carry in a wheelchair and then lift her. So lift up the Harris family. They're going through a tough time. Also, some of you have met Tommy Job. He's Cumberland Presbyterian minister, moved to Nolensville, and we've run together. They've worshiped with us when he wasn't preaching elsewhere. Tommy's mother-in-law, Ms. Dancer, passed away this morning about 4 o'clock. Mr. and Ms. Dancer have been in this area off and on for years and years and years. Mr. Dancer, Reverend Dancer, was pastor of the Bellevue Church over on 96. He was also pastor of Tusculum Church. And Tommy told me yesterday that he was the one that baptized Reverend Harris and received him into the church. And it's kind of unique that they're both so sick at the same week, Ms. Dancer and Brother Harris. So Ms. Dancer will be, I think he said, Pafford, P-A-F-F-O-R-D, funeral home in Lexington, Tennessee. The visitation will be sometime Monday, like from 4 to 8. The funeral will be sometime Tuesday. They're not sure. Tuesday morning. They haven't got to go to Lexington yet, and I think Tommy was going to preach at Santa Fe this morning, and then they would go to Lexington and make the funeral arrangements. So that's Hazel Dancer, D-A-N-C-E-R, and these have been, I guess, friends of mine since the 60s, Tommy and Gloria have, so they live in our neighborhood now, and many people knew, most of them probably in the second service, knew the Dancers from the Tusculum Church. Is anybody here that knew the Dancers were there at that time? Yes, Bobby did. Okay, Bobby and Jack. Yes, so one family this morning did. So, thank you.
Well, we got to meet Tommy on our youth retreat.
Yes.
Yes. He is a wonderful person.
Yes.
Wonderful person. That's your third friend.
Just don't ride with him.
Just what?
Just don't ride with him.
Now, you're a fine one to talk on that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other are there other prayer requests? Okay. Right. Are there others? Pam?
I'd like to add my cousin Chris Phillips. He left with the Cooper freshman.
They left this morning, I believe. They were on the news, right?
Good morning.
They left Mike Shelby this morning, or I heard something about that. Is that right?
Dr. Leishner, that's the group he went out with. Okay. Are there others? Just remember this week that we should always be thankful for what we have, that we are able to come and freely worship in church every Sunday morning or any other day that we choose so. There are others who don't have this honor. Please remember those that we have mentioned on the prayer list this morning, those that are in our prayer list in our bulletin. Please pray for all those who are going to be traveling this week, and especially our armed forces, for those who are not home with their loved ones during Thanksgiving. Just remember those especially. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive, if you will turn in your bulletins. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song to the God of victory. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. May God number us with the righteous as we worship.
Let's all stand and turn in the hymnals this morning to hymn 559. We have a lot of music today, so we're going to sing first and last of all the hymns. First and last. Heads as we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come with thankful hearts this morning to worship You. And Lord, Your Word calls us to worship in truth and in spirit, and we pray that You would so take over each of us that we can worship in truth and in spirit this morning, that we can know Your presence, O Lord, and Lord, that we could even feel Your presence in that special way that we as individuals need to feel it. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of worship, and we know that Your Word speaks of if Your people don't worship You, even the stones will cry out. And here we find the psalmist speaking of the sea roaring in worship to You. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of joining with all of creation in giving praise and adoration to You. Thank You for each friend who has come our way this morning. And Father, we thank You that You sent Jesus to be the friend above all friends. And now we pray for Your continued guidance in this worship experience to the glory of God through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. One word of instruction. One song this morning is in the new hymn book, the renewal hymn book. We were given these as a gift, and it's right after the offering, so you'll find a smaller hymn book in the pew or near you somewhere, and that our hymn right after the offering will be from that hymnal. And if you didn't close your hymnal, our next hymn is right across the page, hymn 560. Again, first and last. Mm-hmm.
I noticed since we've done our first time visitor and our friend thing, I know there are others who have come in. Again, if you've come in, we want to welcome you here this morning for our worship service. We now express our faith in God by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Victory in Jesus. We might all stand again for this one. I don't know if I can sing this one sitting down. Everybody stand. Special treat, Kim Glasscock is going to sing for us today, and I know you're going to enjoy it.
far away from home, this dark and lonely night. Tell me what best would help to ease your mind. Someone to give direction for this unfamiliar road. Oh, one who says, follow me and I will lead you home. How beautiful, how precious, the Savior of old, to love so completely the loneliest soul. How gently, how tenderly He says to one and all, child, you can follow me and I will lead you. Trust me and follow me and I will lead you home. I ask Thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with Thee. Take us to heaven to live with Thee there.
Thank you, Kim. Before we express our thanks to God, Jeff, I want to know if you'll do scripture for us this morning. Thank you. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time? Thank you.
And now we need to turn in this hymnal to hymn 247. There should be some on each row. If not, we'll pass them around. Shine, Jesus, shine. This is it is a beautiful hymn, but it's more, I learned it at camp, church camp. So, you see that it's written in 1987, so you say, well, you certainly went to church camp a long time before 1987. Well, I did as a camper, but I've been a counselor there. And so we learned this song at camp. And I know there's some of the kids in the audience that will know the song, so we're just going to jump right in there and let Melanie play just a little bit of it, and then we're going to sing the chorus in one verse and the chorus again. All righty? Some of you may recognize it as we get into it. All right, here we go.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Oh, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, sin, for your word, Lord, and let there be light. By love of work, keep us all let us free by the truth you have bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, shine, Jesus, shine, in this land, with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. From river, cross, by the nations, with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Is that enough, Susan? You want us to do some more? Okie doke. Nice to have those pictures up there, too.
Our scripture this morning will be read by Jeffrey Seaman. I hope each and every one of you have a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving.
We read today from John 15:9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, which he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And from Romans 5:6-8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
I did talk to Mr. Darrell Campbell yesterday, and I said if they were here today that I would claim him as my friend. So, Mr. Campbell, thank you for being my friend. Well, think about friends this morning. Being Friend Day, it's a good time to talk about friends, and not just to the friends who are here, but to all of us about being friends, and then Jesus, our friend. Some time ago, a British newspaper offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And I guess that the newspaper editors were the ones who would determine which was the best definition of the friend. Well, there were thousands of submissions submitted, and many, many people thought they knew what a friend was, and I guess to each of them that offered the definition of a friend, to them that was what a friend meant. But the winning definition was this: a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. One who comes in when the whole world has gone out, or when all others have forsaken you, the one that stands by you. A small boy defined a friend as someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. We could probably all identify with that, could we not? C.S. Lewis said that friendship is born at the moment when one person says to the other, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." The opposite of friendship, and sometimes you can learn from looking at the opposite of friendship is found in a little joke that I read. It says two men were out hunting big game in the northern part of the United States. They were hunting bears, grizzlies. One yelled, the other looked up and saw a grizzly bear charging. The first man began to frantically put on his tennis shoes. And his buddy asked him, "What are you doing? Don't you know that you cannot outrun a grizzly?" And the partner replied, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly. I just have to outrun you." And Rodney Dangerfield, that man of "I don't get no respect" fame, is reported to have said, or reported to have once complained to his dad, "Dad, nobody likes me." And his dad replied, "Don't say that. Everybody hasn't met you yet." Of course, Rodney meant that as a joke. He made a life of no respect jokes. But many people feel like Rodney felt, or expressed that he felt in that joke. Many people feel like nobody likes them. Nobody loves me. Bible verse, one Bible character complained, "No man cares for my soul." A lot of people feel like they don't have any friends. My dad died when I was very young. To be quite honest, he probably wasn't a character that a young man would want to pattern his life after. But one thing that I learned about him, and that was that he had many, many friends. So hearing bits and pieces about him, the mother would never say anything disrespectful of him. But you pick up bits and pieces as you go along, and they were not terribly bad, just you probably wish that your child wouldn't follow in some of those footsteps. But
One thing that I kept hearing is he had a lot of friends. Everybody that he met was his friend. Well, if there was one thing that I could pattern after my dad that I hardly knew, dying when I was 4, it could be to make an effort to have a lot of friends. I thought that was honorable and good and Christian. Now, I've run into some people who chose not to be my friends. I haven't figured out why yet. You may know. But I have made the effort to be their friends. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one sent from God, He's a friend of all people. So if we feel that we don't have a friend, we can know that Jesus is our friend. And if you run into somebody who complains that they don't have a friend, you can correct them and tell them, but Jesus is your friend. He wants to be your friend. You may reject Him, but He still desires to be your friend. Even those who don't want to be His friend, He still loves them and wants to be their friend. He is a friend of all. Looking at our lesson, and you have a copy there before you. Looking at our lesson, John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to disciples. I assume that at this point, it was the 12 that He was talking to. And He says, as the Father, referring to our Heavenly Father, God the Father, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Reading that phrase, I take that last part of it to be real personal. Not only did He love the 12 as the Father loved Him, but He loves us just as much. He loves me just as much. And I think, how much does God love us? How much does God love us? And then, how much does Jesus love us? How much does Jesus love us? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Jesus is loving me as much as the Father loves Him. So how much does He love us? He loves us enough. God, the Father, loves us enough to send Jesus, His only Son, from heaven to earth, where He would take the punishment due us, take what we deserved for our sin, He would take it upon Himself. So that whoever believes on Him as the Savior, or the one that takes their sin upon Himself, would be forgiven, or could be forgiven. Our sin, taking it upon Himself, we could be forgiven of that sin. And then He loves us enough to want us to be with Him for eternity in heaven. So He died that we might be forgiven our sin, sin that keeps us out of the presence of God, and forgive us our sin so that we might be cleansed and able to enter in to that heavenly kingdom. That's how much God loves us. And that's how much Jesus loves us. He was willing to come to leave the glories of heaven and walk on earth and be treated worse than a common criminal. And be crucified. Willingly. He didn't have to let it happen, but because He loves us, He did it.
Then Jesus says, after he talks about loving others as much as God loves him, he talks about what we should do. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. God loved him. He loves us. And what does that promote us to do or prompt us to do? What does he expect us to do next? What is our response? To love each other. Each other as he has loved us. Let me ask you, how much does he love us? He loves us enough to die for us. That's the answer. And then looking at verse 13 in the scripture from John, we find that Jesus is explaining what the greatest expression of love is. The greatest expression of love. The best way that we can show our love. The greatest extent we can go to express our love is to lay down our life for a friend. To quote it, it's greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate. That's the highest expression of love, for one to lay down his life for his friends. Now back to the bear hunters. That one who was wanting to be first in line. That one who wanted to be the fastest. He wasn't about to go this far. He wasn't about to give his life that his friend might be saved. When the bear was approaching, he was thinking only of himself. Not only did he not love his hunting partner, at that point, when they saw the bear approaching, I don't think he even liked his hunting partner. He just wanted to get away and save his own life. Now, if you will, move with me to Romans chapter 5. It's also printed there before you. The Apostle Paul here in this passage elaborates on how Jesus laid down his life for us. And by doing this, he has shown himself to be the greatest friend that we could ever hope for. Verse 6 says, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 7, he explains a lot. Paul is rather wordy, as I've taken after Paul in that I'm rather wordy. So let me just share Paul's words, though. Verse 7, he says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. And then he distinguishes between a righteous man and a good man. And he said, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Matthew Henry, a theologian of the 1700s, wrote these words concerning these verses. Of those whom Christ died, not only were they helpless creatures, or not only are we helpless creatures, and therefore likely to perish, but guilty creatures, sinful creatures, and deserving to perish. for those kinds of people, Christ died. People like us, helpless but guilty. Guilty of sin, and Christ died to take away our sin, to bear our sin Himself. Christ died for sinners. Neither righteous nor good. Not only such as were useless, but such as were guilty. While we were yet sinners, Christ died to save us. Christ, the Savior. Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm convinced Jesus did, by dying for us, the greatest thing that He could do for us. Yes, laying down His life for us. And He had said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Johnson Oatman Jr. You don't know who he is, probably, but he was a songwriter. He wrote a gospel song about this act of Jesus. In your book, it's 422. Now, we're not going to sing it, but allow me to just turn to the hymnal and quote it. It's No, Not One. There's a story about this song, No, Not One. They said that two churches were side by side. You know, oftentimes they built them side by side. I think it's Treslet, Tennessee, or Atwood. They have four churches just lined up side by side. And before the day of air conditioning, when they raised the windows in the summertime and they begin to sing and they would try to drown out each other. I don't know if they did that in that West Tennessee town or not, but it often happens, and that's the way the story goes. So one group was singing over here and saying, they were singing the song, "Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown?" And the church next door, with the windows open, would respond, "No, not one. No, not one." Okay? But 420, that's not what "No, not one" is about. That was a misreading of, a misunderstanding of what "No, not one" is about. And the 422 is the song. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And he bases on, the writer based this on, John 15:15. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No one else or none else could heal all of our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. In the last verse, there are five verses, but was ever a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. If we want to go, if we'll trust in Him. If we'll trust in Him. I want to suggest two responses to God's love this morning, to what Jesus has done for us. The first one is to believe in Jesus. Trust in what He did. Believing and trusting in. If you believe in it, you need to trust in. Depend on. Place your life on it. Trust Jesus to take your sin away. He paid for it. Cast your sin upon Him, your burden upon Him. "Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden," He says, "and I will give you rest. Bring your sin to Him, and He will lift them off." So first, believe or trust or claim the salvation. That's a churchy word, isn't it? Claim the salvation that Jesus has provided. Don't let it go to waste concerning you. Don't let it go to waste. Or don't let it be in vain. And then, a second response, as Christians, is to lay down our life. To lay down our lives for our friends. Our love, our friends and neighbors, as He loved us, is another way to put it. Lay down our life for God, for Christ. And that's the same. And His kingdom. And there's two ways that we can lay down our life. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, called on us in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So that's the call this morning. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, some people lay down their life to death. And that's what Jesus had to do to take our sin away. But as a dead person, I'm not going to be able to do very much loving or very many loving acts toward my neighbor. So we might be a martyr and we might lay down our life in death. Just recently we heard of this lady who had gone to Iraq and had given her life and even became a citizen of that country and tried to serve, and some people, because she wasn't a native of that country, captured her and now they have killed her. A martyr. She gave her life for the cause. Now, there is also giving our life in service. Living sacrifices, as Paul calls us to do in Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, fellow Christians, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God as a reasonable service. And I read just a little story. You can find so many. There's so many illustrations on friendship. But a little boy was sent to the store to buy something for his mother. And a loaf of bread is the product that he was going after. And he had been gone so long, and he never came back, or for a long time he didn't come back. And he finally went home. And his mother says, "You took an awfully long time to go get that loaf of bread. Where have you been?" And he said, "Well, I ran across a friend, and his bicycle was broken. And he was crying. So I helped him." And the mother says, "But you don't know anything about fixing bicycles." He says, "But I sat down with him and cried. I just sat down with him and cried." So sometimes the service that we offer might be just sitting with somebody who is grieving or hurting and crying with them. Another song writer wrote a song. It's the name of it is "I Stand Amazed." Cecil Francis Alexander is the writer, but this just expresses it in my mind at least. "I stand amazed at the love that Jesus offers me, confused at the grace that so fully He proffers me. I tremble to know that for me He was crucified, that for me, a sinner, He suffered and bled and died." And then the refrain, "Oh, it is wonderful that He should care for me enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful to me. It is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name, amen." You turn in your hymnal, Sam, what's the number? 202. Stand together, and I believe we want to sing the first and the second and the fourth stanza. The first and the second and the fourth stanza of "Amazing Grace." It is amazing. And that grace that He sends is amazing. Maybe you have a public response to make this morning to Jesus, inviting you to be His friend. Thank you.
And thank you for sending Jesus to show that love in a way that beyond our comprehension, that still amazes us every time we hear the story. Thank you that we can share that with our friends here today. Now, Lord, send us forth. Be your people, glorifying you, being friends in the world. Amen. And you're dismissed. I bless you. The girl would not have anything to do with me. I've become friends with the mother, and the girl would don't want to. She just want to be my friend and not my. Okay.
Then the three. And play a tune.